Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. People of God and St. Bede's, good morning. In every home, there are daily responsibilities and tasks necessary to maintain and keep one's home in a satisfactory condition. I am thankful to my children for often aiding or completing these assignments entirely. When a job is completed, though, with partial effort, or not done as well as instructed, I ask the question, how do you do a job? The expected answer is to be done well. And this is followed by a more thorough engagement to the task or focus on detail. Now, is there such a question that allows us to consider our effort in a relationship with God in Christ through the Holy Spirit? Does a standard exist by which we can quantify our effort? Can our effort ever possibly be equitable to the task of pleasing a holy and just God? A half-hearted effort to know God would leave one in a miserable state. Knowing enough about God to feel guilty, but not fully sanctified enough to become happy. Unlike my kids, who are required to muster more effort from within, let us look without to God and His Word to seek a remedy and comfort. Our second psalm read today, Psalm 112, describes the blessed state of the righteous, as many Bibles title it. This psalm is best understood in partnership with Psalm 111. They both share similar language and grammatical composition, yet the subject of the one is the exact counterpart of the subject of the other. The first celebrates the character and works of God. The second, the character and joy of the godly man. Rightfully, we must begin with the work of God, and especially done on behalf of believers. Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endures forever. He has made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. He has declared to His people the power of His works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of His hand are verity and justice. All His precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. Now I want to ask you to look along with me at Psalm 112, either in your Bible or again on page 483 of your Book of Common Prayer. Psalm 111 transitions seamlessly to the opening of Psalm 112. The Bible text begins our recitation of today's psalm with "Praise the Lord." This exhortation is never given too often. The Lord always deserves praise. We always ought to render it. We are frequently forgetful of it, and it is always well to be stirred up to it, whether our circumstances required His aid or were guided by His providence. In truth, We ought to bless God for blessing any man. For when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? God is here praised for the manifestation of his glory, which is seen in his people. And the psalmist qualifies who is blessed. The blessed man is not whom is most observant to catch opportunities to have pleasure, profit, and worldly preference, and cares not how he comes by them. But he is the blessed man who is most observant of God's will and careful to follow it. Godly fear, which leads to delight in the service of God, is infinitely blessed. Our reading from Proverbs today describes what it is to fear in the Lord. If you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. The fear of the Lord is not harbored to foster anxiety and worry. For how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Brothers and sisters, listen to the call from our Lord and the wisdom given by him through Solomon. Receive his words. Treasure them. Incline your ear to them. Move beyond rational agreement and apply your heart to understanding. And cry out for his discernment granted by the Holy Spirit. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Ungodly men may in some measure obey the commandments out of the fear of loss, but only a righteous man, consumed by the love of God, will observe them with delight, for perfect love casts out all fear. Can we exclaim like David, I run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart? As we continue in our psalm, we see the blessing for believers is not characterized by gloom and destruction of joy that many outside ascribe to the Christian life. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. The persistence of the faithful will carry over to their descendants, who will be mighty on earth. It is probable that Lot thought of enriching his family when he chose the fertile plains of wicked Sodom. Yet the event was very different. But Abraham feared the Lord and delighted greatly in his commandments, and his descendants were mighty upon the earth. And thus it will generally be in every age, with the posterity of those who imitate the father of the faithful, and their conduct shall prove, in the event, a far preferable inheritance laid up for their children than gold and silver and houses and lands would have ever been. Verse 3 of Psalm 112 opens with promises of wealth and riches within the house of the righteous. Take notice that these are blessings available for others to enjoy, and they are present in his house, not in his heart. Prosperity does not destroy the holiness of his life or the humility of his heart. His wealth shall be in his house, for he must leave that to others. But as verse 3 concludes, his righteousness he himself shall have the comfort of to himself. It endures forever. Now verse 3 of the prior Psalm 111 speaks also of an enduring righteousness. Are these speaking of the same thing or different qualities? The righteousness of a true saint endures forever because it springs from the same root as the righteousness of God, and indeed is a reflection of it. This is the declared imputed righteousness of our justification. So long as the Lord remains righteous, and this is forever assured by his seated position at the right hand of the Father, having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. He will maintain by his grace the righteousness of his people. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. They shall hold their way and wax stronger and stronger. And this is the gracious and continuous operation of the Holy Spirit, by which righteousness is imparted to us in our sanctification. Regardless of how much progress we make in our pursuit of holiness, it will never come close to the absolute perfect righteousness of Christ that is ours through our union with him in his life, death, resurrection, and ascension. But if our pursuit is being driven by delight with an enlarged heart, why would there be any cause not to receive all that God has for us? Like Adam, we're all born running from God, spinning our own line of fig leaf apparel to cover our sin. If we cannot cover up our unrighteousness, we will cover up the revelation of God himself. Either I'm not as bad as all that, we say, or God isn't as righteous as all that. This is the source of idolatry, of our own selves, or stagnation. It is not in the absence of revelation that we fashion idols, but precisely because of that general revelation. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. We are graciously told later in St. John's letter that Christ is our advocate before God the Father, and that he intercedes for us. The obvious implication being that we are ill-equipped to appear in our own stead when it comes to approaching the Father and need this advocate functioning fully in that unique office on our behalf, both now and in the future. There is therefore the clear picture in Scripture itself that a human law court is appointed at the last judgment at the end of time, and that an otherwise certain-to-be defendant should retain counsel now for that court appearance while counsel can still be obtained. We are justified before God by faith in Christ. God is ever mindful of his covenant, that which he alone initiated with Abraham, described through Moses, and fulfilled in Christ. He has sent redemption to his people and commanded his covenant forever. The enduring character of true righteousness is based on eternal principles, growing out of an incorruptible seed, sustained by a faithful God, united to the ever-living Christ and his church, which is his body. The remainder of the psalm describes how we live out our lives in Christ, walking in newness of life. We are immediately reminded of the presence of darkness. While we are on earth, we are subject to a threefold darkness: the darkness of error, the darkness of sorrow, and the darkness of death. To dispel these, God guides us by his word with a threefold light: the light of truth, the light of comfort, and the light of life. We as believers have received the light of life. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, which is generosity and kindness, righteousness, which is upright behavior, and truth, which is sincerity or genuineness. Ephesians also speaks of believers utilizing the light of truth, for all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. And finally, the darkness of sorrow is overcome by our relationship with the Lord. As Micah 7:8 reports, when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Again, our source of comfort and strength is provided outside of our own ability by the Holy Spirit. However, attention to the things of heaven does not necessitate the neglect of the affairs on earth. On the contrary, he who has learned how to transact business with God ought to be best able to do business with men. The righteous man, as our psalm continues, is gracious and full of compassion. Ephesians describes the purpose of our work in our earthly professions. Let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Jesus describes the purpose of our work in our eternal profession. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. In either role, to give everyone his due is not sufficient. We must act upon those same principles of grace which reign in the heart of God. The righteous, resting on the promises of a faithful God, will never be shaken. When he is undecided as to a course, he or she is still fixed in heart. A plan may change, but not the purpose of the soul. In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. The righteous has a steadfast heart, trusting in the Lord. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats or be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. This hope is called upon when most greatly seen in a time when in the world most would collapse in despair and angst. Yet the righteous will not be afraid. Even as the psalmist exclaims, until he sees his desire upon his enemies. Now, if you think this desire is of ill intent, be reminded of the command of Jesus to love your enemies. The psalmist would agree. The wicked will see the honor of the righteous and be grieved of themselves. Their desires of the world and the flesh will perish. We are called to a good conscience, that when the wicked defame you as evildoers and revile your good conduct in Christ, we'll be ashamed. Therefore, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, how do you live this life? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Receive the blessed state of the righteous believer, and exercise yourself toward godliness. For godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is, and that which is to come. The promise is given by a gracious and compassionate God, and the believer who trusts in the Lord will be told, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Let us pray. All praise and thanks to God the Father now be given, the Son and him who reigns with them in highest heaven. Eternal triune God, whom earth and heaven adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen.